Just take your Bibles and turn in them with me, first to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 66, I'll read verses 1 and 2. It's found on page 794, the Pew Bibles, Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 1. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Let us turn in the New Testament to the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. It's found on page 1288 in the Pew Bibles, James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. James 1, beginning at verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let us turn to 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Found on page 1304, 1 John 4, verse 13 and following. First John 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, almost everybody prays or claims to pray. Ask around, you won't find many people who would say they're against prayer, who say it's a bad thing, you shouldn't do it. Perhaps some hardened atheists. But in general, prayer is very popular. But so is wishing people good luck. Just because something is popular doesn't make it right or mean that it's done rightly. But we are to be praying. What do we make of prayer? How are we to pray? We consider that this morning, that God wants us to pray as a Christian. God wants us to pray as a Christian. First, we consider real prayer, real prayer. Prayer is talking to God, our talking to God. Prayer is when we pray from the heart, talk to the real God. God is real. We cannot see him, we cannot sense him, but he exists nonetheless. As God reminds us in Isaiah 66, speaking of heaven and earth, all these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be. This is reality. God is ultimate reality, and he made the reality we can sense, heaven and earth. However, the world around us, the society nowadays would have us to believe the earth exists on its own. That it came into existence with a big bang generated by itself somehow, and then it expanded, filled, developed, evolved until, oh, well, here we are. And eventually we'll all pass away, whether into a big crunch or into just a continual expanding void. They don't know. But that's not reality. In a society such as ours that holds to that view of reality, there is no room for prayer, not real prayer. The world around us thinks of Christian prayer often like pagan meditation. That is something going on only within the mind of the person doing it. Has no real prayer activity, talking to some divine being. Brothers and sisters, we can be tempted by that thinking as well. Again, it's all around us. As Christians, we can be tempted to think that, well, while God exists, he's distant. He's distant from everyday occurrences, the wind blowing, seeds sprouting, breathing. We're tempted to think that prayer is a practice. Yes, it has great personal benefits. It calms us, like meditation. Now, perhaps prayer can be calming, but that's not its focus. Resist those temptations. Prayer, true prayer, is really talking to God. God is real. God is active. You and I are to talk to Him. Again, we read in chapter 66 of Isaiah, verse 2, that this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. 1 John 4, we read, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. God abides with us. This is why we can talk to God. Prayer is real because God is real. Now, our talking to God is not like talking to some mere creature, talking to someone we can see, we can touch, someone who responds with words to us. That's not prayer to God, but it is real. It is a faith reality. Now, the world around us having a false view of God does not then truly pray to God, no matter if they do appear to pray. Its prayers are nothing more than mutterings. It looks to a god of its own making, an idol. So when the world, thinks of prayer as pagan meditation, well, it's correct for its own prayers. But those aren't yours and mine, beloved. Just because someone uses the same word that we use, the word prayer, pray, doesn't mean we mean the same thing or we do the same thing. Don't be deceived. That's a false reality out there. True prayer is real. How are we to know then what real prayer is? How do we know what God is like so that you and I, we can pray to Him? Well, we can look to creation all around us. Again, we get a glimpse of God. Creation testifies to God, but much better is to go to God's Word, the Bible. Now, because of our sin, we don't learn as much from the creation around us, and our sin even obscures the and clouds the truth that's in God's Word. But God gave us the Bible to make His truth clear to us. And it's much clearer in the Bible than in the creation around us. Otherwise, would we know that God is near? We can't see Him. We can't sense Him. Our experience does not give support, as we often think, that God is near. Why? Because, well, I don't always feel happy. Things aren't always going real well with me. And so the human mindset thinks, well, is there a God? I see no difference. But God's Word very plainly says He is near. He abides in us. 1 John, we read that. He hears, He listens to His people pray. That's one reason we must pray to God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. Now, even Isaiah 66, those who tremble at His Word. His Word. And our catechism picks that up too. God makes clear in His Word who He is so we can pray according to that reality and not according to the sinful deceptions and ignorance that we have. Take your Psalter hymnals and turn with me in the back to page 57 to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, question and answer 117, page 57. Question answer 117. asks, how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart. To no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we do not deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what He promised us in His Word. So when you pray, you are talking to God. You're talking to the one who made the universe, who has a plan, who has a purpose He established in eternity past. You're talking to the one who rules and governs all things. You're talking to the one true God. That's prayer. It's to the real God. And as we think upon this, we're impressed with the greatness of God. And so our prayers are also to be humble. Humble prayer. That's what we move to in our second point, humble prayer. Isaiah 66 brings that clearly before us. Our need for humility in prayer, in all of life. And thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. There's a contrast in these verses between God and us. It's not a contrast between equals, but a contrast between the Creator and the creature. That's fundamental to true religion. There's the Creator, God, and there's everything else. Angels, demons, rocks, humans, stars. Vast contrast. That's reality. So having that reality in our minds, how should it shape our prayers? This real prayer we have. Well, children, how ought you to talk to God? We'll come later, Lord willing, to the fact that in Christ, God has become our Father. But first, think of this contrast. Reality. What ought to shape our prayers? Humility. Humility. God is so great. Now in prayer, and as the Catechism brings out, we're coming into His majestic presence. He doesn't have to receive us. He doesn't have to listen to us. We're not bringing to God anything He lacks. He doesn't need us to inform Him of anything with ourselves or in His world. And we come to God Himself. We don't come to some dead saint or even an angel. They might be near to us in terms of being creatures, even though they're exalted. God is beyond all. He's God. And in prayer, we dare to speak to Him, to call upon Him, to seek an audience, to speak into His ear. Now again, many around us claim to pray, and if you listen to many of the prayers of the world around us, you don't hear a lot of humility, do you? Listen to how people speak to an official. There's often a lack of respect there. How much more a disrespect shown to God, who is infinitely beyond any of us. And human rulers might get upset because of a lack of respect shown to them. So do we as common people, don't we? Parents, you know, if your children disrespect you, or in the workplace, how easy it is. Well, what type of disrespect do sinners show to God? That's appalling. That attitude alone shows that true prayer is missing from so much of our society. Even if it goes by the outward motions, even if it's called prayer, arrogance. As though the speaker deserves to be heard by the Holy God. Joking. As though being in God's presence is a time for joking. Now there are times in life where joking is okay. It's good to be able to laugh at oneself, laugh at certain situations. But in matters related to God, holy matters, joking's out of line. God is holy. God is majestic. Cracking jokes in prayer is wrong. That's one reason, too, why you won't hear jokes cracked from this pulpit during corporate worship. When, like in prayer, we are in the presence of God because it is a holy time. We think think even of the sermon. The point of the sermon is not to keep the congregation entertained, to keep one interested through jokes. The point of a sermon is what? To bring out from God's Word the greatness of God, the sin of man, salvation in Christ, that all those apart from Christ are eternally lost, and to call to faith and repentance. Those are not joking matters. The holiness around the sermon is similar to the holiness that we are to have in prayer. Children, it's out of place to laugh in formal prayer. Young people, don't talk to others during prayer time at home or in worship. Prayer is not a time to adjust your sermon notes. We have a prayer after the sermon, right? Hopefully there's enough time given where you can collect your notes. I hear a lot of rustling before we pray. It's not a time to adjust your sermon notes. It's not a time to find the next song in the songbook. It's not a time to whisper to your boyfriend or your girlfriend. In prayer, we are coming into God's presence. Be quiet. Be reverent. Humble yourself in the presence of God. We read it there in Isaiah 66. This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. You want to be heard by God, by His grace, humble yourself. And this humbling has an eye to more than our just being mere creatures before the Creator. There is the matter of our sin, our misery. It's not as though we come to God needy, yet on good terms. By nature, we are sinful, we are miserable. Not only can we as creatures contribute nothing toward God, but being sinners, we stand under His wrath by nature. Even after being regenerated by the Spirit of God, being granted the righteousness of Christ through faith, so that God declares us to be forever right with Him, we still sin. And there is to be some of that present in our minds. Doesn't mean we have that only in our minds. We'll come to that in our third point. But it must be present there as context. We can't lay claim of God's riches out of any deserving we have. We have none. Maybe you come to church twice a week. I hope you do. Many of you do. That's good. Many read the Bible every day. Maybe you give 30% or more of your income to the work of the Lord. But you and I, we can't say we've earned anything good from God. When we come in prayer, we come with empty hands. We do not come to give to His lack. We do not ask from our strength, "Would you like me to do this for you, Lord?" But we acknowledge our need and misery. We hide nothing, as the Catechism rightly instructs us. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at God's word, it is those to whom the Lord looks. It is those He hears. Only those truly pray to God. We always need to remember that, congregation. Never forget it. Or your prayers, they won't be heard. Like the prayer of the idolater, the prayer of the one who's not humble, who's not contrite in heart, is not heard. God does not look at such a one. God wants us to pray as Christians. Real prayer. Humble prayer. Humble prayer. But also, as we move to in our third point, it's certain prayer. Certain prayer. We come to God knowing we deserve nothing good from His hand. But our prayers aren't groveling. As we'll see next time, Lord willing, we approach God in prayer as children come to their Father. We come with confidence, certainty, that God will hear, that He will answer our prayers as we pray from the heart to the only true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, humbling ourselves, asking for everything He's commanded us to ask for. It's all a unit of prayer, of a heart that truly prays to God. It's not just some checklist we do. Now, the reason we are to be certain that God will surely listen to our prayer is the same reason why an unbeliever does not truly pray to God. We already looked at some reasons, but this is one that goes to the heart of prayer. of Christian prayer, the foundation of our prayers is that God listens to us because of Christ our Lord. Our certainty is not based in ourselves or someone else or even in the church. It flows from the same faith by which we are saved in the first place, faith in Jesus. We are sinful. We are miserable in ourselves. God would never listen to anything we say because by nature we're sinful, rebels against the Most High God. But God in His love reached down to us. God sent His beloved Son Jesus, who took upon Himself the guilt of our sin, who suffered in our place, who died in our place as the sacrifice for our sin. And by His suffering, Christ has paid for our sin, has reconciled sinners to the Holy God. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead. We are united by faith to Jesus. His righteousness is ours. His death is ours. His resurrection is ours. His ascension is ours, as we heard this past Thursday, His ascension. He will come again to earth for us to complete that work He's begun, all within the grace and the love of God for us. That's for you, believer. Trust Him. It's not for the world. It's only for God's chosen, the elect, only for those who believe, who entrust themselves to Jesus for time and eternity, who belong to Jesus, body and soul and life and in death. Believer, you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Believer, you may pray to God. In fact, God calls you to pray. Don't doubt. Trust Him. Hold fast to Jesus in faith and be assured that because of Christ your Lord, God will surely listen to your prayers. Isn't that amazing? You see, the world does not pray, not truly. It cannot pray. It does not call upon the true God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. The world does not humble itself before God, but is arrogant, unrepentant. The world does not come to the true God in faith in Jesus. It rejects Christ. The world does not pray. When we see those interfaith gatherings, you know, we hear about those from time to time, the prayers of the non-Christians are nothing, really. It might make people feel good. And, well, in one sense, it's better that people aren't shooting at each other or hurting each other in that way, but nothing real is actually going on. It cannot. True prayer is something that only true, real Christians offer up. Children, be assured, as you trust in Jesus, God hears you when you pray. He hears the prayer of all His children, of those who believe in Him, trust Him, love Him, pray to Him, rest on that unshakable foundation. For this is what God has promised in His Word. He is with you. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. You see that confessing? That's what believers do. God's abiding in us, our abiding in God. That's what happens with believers. And it's that intimate relationship that's linked to prayer, true prayer. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. The Spirit leads us to believe and to confess. It's only by the Spirit that one can say Jesus is Lord. Paul says that. Those who have the Spirit abide in God, God in them. That's what God's Word says. You can know it this way. We don't know it through experience. We don't know it through some feeling, sensation, some burning in the bosom. We know it through faith. Faith in God's word of promise. Hear that promise. Trust Him. Pray to Him. You and I need it. We need it. That is, we need to pray. Not only because God commands us to. That's reason enough. But we have needs. And we move to that in our fourth point. Prayer is needed prayer. We have needs. The last time we mentioned the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Children, remember that? A, adoration or praise. C is confession. We confess our sins. T is thanksgiving. S is supplication, that is, we make requests, A-C-T-S. Now, while our supplications, our requests, are not to be all then that our prayer is, they usually, though, form the bulk of prayer, don't they? In prayer, we humble ourselves before God. We ask Him to meet our needs. We are to bring all our needs to God, spiritual and physical. God is concerned with both our souls and our bodies. He made us soul and body. And Christ redeemed us, body and soul. God raises both, although each in its own time. Now we think of we as reformational Christians. Look at question answer 118. It's what we've always confessed. Again, page 57 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Question answer 118. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. We read from James 1, where the Lord inspired James to write, there in James 1, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." We are not to be deceived. It is God who supplies everything. Everything good. Even though we don't see Him, even though we only see the human or the creaturely actors or agents or events, God is at work. Do not live by sight. Live by faith. Faith in God's Word. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Therefore, ask Him for what you need. Do you need rain for the crops? Ask Him. Do you need dry weather to complete a job? Ask Him. Do you need food to eat? Ask Him. He might provide in expected ways or maybe unexpected ways. But He provides. Do you need strength? Do you need stability? Do you need help? Ask Him. Now you might think you need something that it turns out, well, we don't. God often surprises us, doesn't He? He meets our needs or our true needs different ways than we thought. He changes our perspective. But ask. According to God's Word, ask. Do you need the Holy Spirit to work patience in your life? Ask Him. Now maybe what God will do is He'll bring into your life an occasion for patience, an annoyance, so that you trust God more. We don't know, but pray. Brothers and sisters, we lack things in this life. And so often we lack them because we don't ask. And maybe we ask and don't receive because we ask with the wrong motives. God is not a miser. God is certainly able. God is rich. He's Lord of all. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. Ask Him for good, perfect gifts. Now, should we ask God for things we want but don't need? Well, it depends on what you mean there. Certainly, thank Him for providing much more than we need. We all have that. Thank Him for those things. But whether to ask for things we don't need, well, that's a question that's hard to give an answer to in general. For instance, is it okay for parents to pray for the conversion of your children? Well, you don't need that for yourself, do you? But it is a good thing. Pray for it. Pray earnestly that the Lord would work in the heart and life of every one of your children. And not just your children, but your spouse, your siblings, each person in this congregation. Every person you know and come in contact with, they need that work, even if you don't. They need it or they won't be converted. It's good to pray for these things as we pray out of faith in accordance not with selfish desires, but with good desires. Pray. Do you find at times, sometimes you're reading the Bible maybe, and you don't understand something in it? Well, when you open the Bible, pray. Say, Lord, give me the gift of Your Spirit. Open my mind, open my heart to Your message. Help me to understand. Change me, Lord. Help me to live this. Is there someone at school yet? There's still a few weeks of school yet for some. Someone at work, maybe someone in the home, that there's friction. It's hard to deal. You just, There's always that friction. Hard to deal with them. Pray to God for grace. Yes, grace to change their heart, yes, but grace for you to love that person, to serve that person, to be spent for him or her. Those are all wonderful things to pray for. Pray that God would bless this congregation, that God would bless the preaching of the gospel, would bless us by building us up in the faith and greater unity and fellowship. Pray for revival in our land. Pray for the earthly health of our members. Pray. We have many needs. We have many lacks. And God supplies all according to His plan. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Don't think they come from somewhere else or someone else. Even if God uses in His providence others to bring them into your life. God wants us to pray as a Christian. It's real prayer. It's humble prayer. It's certain prayer. It's needed prayer. Pray. And watch how God answers. All to His praise and glory. Amen. Again, children, we mentioned, don't be moving your sermon notes while we pray. So we're giving you time. Take care of those sermon notes now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that You should hear us. That is amazing. We are not just speaking words into the air. You, the Most High God, You are with us. Your Spirit lives in us. You want us to talk to You. Thank You. Thank You that we can talk to You. That You have brought us near to You through Your Son, Jesus. That it's not like other religions. But You, the real God, You listen. Christ, thank You that we are brought near to the Father through You. That it is certain You hear us. And that we can ask for all that we need. And You know our needs even better than we do. You're so good to us. Continue to bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name.